trust Rosh HaYeshiva, Talmid HaYeshiva. With your permission, I'd like to dedicate these Devei Chizuk tonight, L'Aliyas Nishmas, my father, Rav Rafael Dov and Rav Yosef Cheskel, Zichron Levracha, whose Yahrzeit is tonight. When I first came here to Yeshiva a little over 22 years ago, Washington Heights was a very, very different place than it is now. Different not just because of the squeegee men waiting at the red lights, always armed and ready to pounce on your car with some filthy liquid to spray your windshield with and demand payment for cleaning off their mess they just made on your car, but also because it was a far more dangerous place. I have vivid memories as a college freshman sitting in music class, listening to a Haydn symphony, trying to distinguish the cadences of the symphony from the gunshots outside in the streets. And as Hashgacha would have it, that first year of my experience here in Yeshiva was the year New York City saw the second most murders ever in recorded history, 2,154 of them. A very far cry from the 414 murders of last year. And commentators and pundits have debated, wow, what an unbelievable, remarkable turnaround. 1,700 less murders in a span of a decade or two. What's the secret to the incredible success of the NYPD's crime-fighting strategies? And they're still debating. But one of the more popular theories that gained some fame when it was published a number of years back is the broken windows theory, which essentially states that if the police focus not on just the violent crimes, the murders, and the armed robberies, but on the simple, seemingly minor, insignificant quality of life misdemeanors, if they go after the graffiti artists, if they go after the fare beaters of the transit system, if they go after the litterers and the loiterers of the street, and of course the squeegee men on the corners, if they succeed in eliminating the small little misdemeanor violations from the streets of the city, that will have a trickle-down effect, have a much larger impact on the more serious crimes, on the bigger picture. It's a very fascinating thought, backed up by various studies, that the small actions have a far-reaching effect and influence on the bigger picture, more than one would imagine. And the truth is, this is not just when it comes to crime, but even positive actions as well. The small, seemingly insignificant things that one does have a far more wide-reaching effect and impact than one would ever imagine. And that is certainly true when it comes to ruchnius, one's avodas Hashem. And perhaps that is one very fundamental lesson of the upcoming Yemei HaChanukah. On a very simple, basic level, a small pach shemen, ein bo el lahadlik yom echad, hidliku mimena shmona yamim, far more impact than expected. The Rabban biyat ma'atim, in the words of Rashi in Bezos HaBracha, Yud Beis B'nei Chashmonoi Ve'Elazar Imam Keneged Rivavos. 13 people confronting, battling tens of thousands. It would have been so easy to think how insignificant we are. What are the chances we can impact, we can make a difference? Who would have thought that 13 people can change the course of Jewish history, can accomplish so much with so little? And the truth is that so often we ourselves tend to underestimate our potential to accomplish. Maybe because we fail to recognize our own potential, our own abilities, our own worth in Avodas Hashem. Or maybe because sometimes we fail to appreciate the value of what we're doing, of that seemingly insignificant little mitzvah that we're about to engage in. And the lesson of Yemei HaChanukah is never underestimate the significance of the seemingly insignificant. Be it people, be it me, be it you, be it mitzvahs. This point is emphasized by Rav Chaim of Volozh in his Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Perek Dalet. He writes remarkably, V'zos Torah Sa'odom Kol Ish Yisrael. Al Yomar Belibo Chas V'Shalom. Don't say, Ki Ma'oni, Ma Kochi, who am I? What potential do I have? Lithol B'maisai Hashfalim Shum Inyan Ba'olam. How can my seemingly insignificant little maisim accomplish anything in this world? Don't say that. Chas V'Shalom. Don't say Ma'ani. Don't say Ma Kochi Lithol B'maisai Hashfalim. Omnom yovin v'yeda v'yikba b'machshavos livo. A person should know, a person should take to heart. Shekol prate maisa v'diburov v'machshavosav. Every detail of my maisim, of my dibur, of my machshavos. Kol eis v'rega, every moment. Lo isavidu chas v'shalom, nothing is lost. Marabu maisav. Ma'od gadlu. How incredibly powerful are one's maisim, and what one can accomplish with those maisim. In a similar vein, Dushas Levi writes in last week's parsha that ha'odam b'tchilas avodaso, a person, when he begins engaging in a little more avodas Hashem, mislahev libo bekerbo, should be enthused, should be encouraged, should be ecstatic and excited. Bechoshvo, by the simple thought, sha'al yado misnahagim kol ha'olamos alyonim. Me, little me, my little mitzvah, can impact the olamos alyonim. U'bazel libo holich v'chazik b'avodaso. That should give somebody such chizik in avodas Hashem. Never to think ma kochi ma ani, but to recognize that kol ha'olamos ha'olyonim are misnahagim al yado. At the same time, this very recognition is perhaps a double-edged sword. Because if I can accomplish so much good with my maisim tovim, says of Chaim Volozhner, Nefesh HaChaim, Ube'emes ki ish ha'chacham v'yomen ezos la'mito, one who really appreciates this, libo yachil bekirbo, should tremble, b'chil ra'ada, in terror, b'sumo alibo al ma'isav asher lo tovim. Think about the reverse. If my maisim hatovim have such an incredible impact on the olamos halyonim, libo yachil bekirbo, tremble and think about for a moment, bechil ra'ada, with fear and terror, how about the maisav asher lo tovim? What does that accomplish? What does that destroy? What does that do? As Nefesh HaChaim writes in Perek Yud Gimel of Shar Aleph, Eino roe umasig, a person doesn't see and therefore doesn't comprehend, habinyin, the constructive results of one's positive actions, o haharisa chas v'shalom, lo aleinu, the destruction, hanasa lamala b'ha'olamos mikol dibor v'dibor shalo. That every word, every spoken word, what impact does that little spoken word have? Hein l'tov, hein l'ra. And once again he emphasizes, a person might think, chas v'sholem lomar, to say, b'men nechshav dibor v'sicha kala, ah, a little spoken word here or there, what's the big deal? Shetif al shum pu'ulav inyan ba'olam, to have any impact, ah, dibor v'sicha kala, not worth anything. Aval yedanya emana, a person must know, shekol dibur v'sicha kala shalo, every spoken word, l'kol asher yevate b'svasav, any expression of the lips, lo es avid ve'eno holich levatala chas v'shalom, is never lost. And in the words of the Navi Amos, who magid la'odam ma'seichel, Kadosh Baruch Hu will one day tell man what his spoken conversations were, says of Chaim V'lajner, because when we come to give a din v'cheshbon, all of a sudden Kadosh Baruch Hu lets us in on this secret, on this sod, the Raza de Milsa, what my sicha, what it caused, what the consequences, what the impact was of my sicha, what I accomplished or what I undermined. In the words of the famous Igeres Hagra, equally frightening, the Hakol Yavi b'mishpat al kol dibor, every spoken word is brought to judgment. I efshar l'sha'er godel ha'yisurin v'hatsaros shesovel b'shvil dibor echad. Impossible to imagine the impact, the cause and effect of even one dibur. And so on the one hand, the incredible koach letov of every single Ishma Yisrael, Maisa, dibur, machshava, what we can build in Aloma Selyonim, the Kedusha we can create and generate. On the other hand, libo yochel bekirbo, how careful we have to be. And the Chafetz Chaim illustrates this so beautifully when he writes how he looked at the watch and he timed and he calculated that a person can utter 200 words in 1 minute. He says, consider the possibilities. 200 words of Talmud Torah in but 1 minute. That's 200 mitzvos aseh d'oraisa, he writes. Talmud Torah keneged kulam, equivalent to each and every, all of the Tariq mitzvos. 200 such mitzvos in 1 minute alone. At the same time, says the Chafetz Chaim, if he engages in those 200 mitzvos aseh, each one a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, ayidei zeh nivru lo kama alafim malachi zuchus, you can create thousands of malachim of zuchus on your behalf. But what happens if instead of that, v'hu yoshev b'chibuk yadayim b'beisov in his atzom melimudo, I choose just to waste that 1 minute away? Hayesh l'cha hefzid gadol mizeh? Any more greater tragic loss than that wasted minute? A couple of years ago, when the recession hit hard in America, a number of people asked Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, one of the Mekubalim in Yeshivas Shah HaShemayim in Eretz Yisrael, what do you recommend we should do as a tikkun to be mesakin something in our avoda? We're all suffering from the terrible economic downturn. What do you think we should do? And so he in turn went to a tzaddik in Yerushalayim, Rav Zundel Kreuzer, who told him, tell these individuals that the tikkun they should accept upon themselves is a Kabbalah to learn one additional minute per day. One additional minute per day? That's the Kabbalah. That's the Grace of Tikkun. 1 minute of learning per day. He koveh to learn that one more minute per day. Because he values the chashivas of those 200 words of Talmud Torah per minute. And the words of the Alei Shor of Volbi Zatzal and Chelek Beis, Dafka mi maisim ketanim ha'adam nivne. It's these small little maisim in Avodas Hashem, these small little tikkunim that one takes upon oneself. That's what builds a Jew in Avodas Hashem. And perhaps as Avodas, because it's more manageable initially to maintain, to stick to the Kabbalah. If a Talmud, for example, has a difficult time making time for night seder on a regular basis because the academic pressures are too overwhelming, I just don't have time to learn at night. So all of a sudden, after some mussar, he's going to decide, 2 hours a night, that's it. From now on, 2 hours every night. It's a good possibility if he wasn't matzliach to have any night seder until now, and all of a sudden to jump to 2 hours a night in one fell swoop, I don't know how long that's going to last successfully for. But dafka me'maisim ketanim ha'adam nivne. Slow, gradual, steady progress and growth in Avodas Hashem. That's what builds a Jew in Avodas Hashem. Says Rav Rabinovich, that too is implicit in the story of Chanukah and the halachas of Chanukah. Because the Mahajim and the Mahajim are Mosif Baholech. Just one additional candle every night. We don't light 8 at once, but when you're Malin Bekodesh, it's La'at La'at. Dafka mimaisim ketanim ha'odam nivne. Small steps, slow, gradual progress. That's what makes the difference. And perhaps the same is true as well in Beit Adam L'Chavera also. Never to underestimate what you can accomplish in interacting with a chaver. The power of a chesed, a seemingly small and significant chesed. How do you know what it accomplishes? My father, Zichron Levracha, once related to me in amazement how he met an individual who years ago had moved out of his neighborhood. And this individual said to my father, Rabbi Marcus, I want to tell you that that note that you wrote me, that note of chizuk, has done so much for me over the years. What note are you talking about? Don't you remember when my father was dying in the hospital? Years ago, you visited him and I wasn't there and you wrote me a small little note of chizuk. You left it on the table next to my father's bed. And here it is. And he pulls it out of his wallet, a tattered little piece of paper. He'd been carrying it in his pocket for years. My father had totally forgotten about it. Didn't think twice about it. One small little note of chizuk to somebody meant so much to him that he was carrying it in his wallet for years and years, every single day, looking at it again and again. You never know what one little ma'aseh chesed, which means so little to you, can accomplish for somebody else. My favorite story in this regard, which perhaps maybe some of you have heard from me before, and if so, please forgive me, but it gives me chizuk to hear it, to think about it, because it's such a powerful lesson. A story I heard from Rabbi Mordechai Green, a Muslim Chabar Yeshiva, who in 1958 became the Rav of Hamilton, Ontario, where he served as Rav for 44 years. When he came there in 1958 as a young man, 24 years old, baby-faced, the Orthodox shul in Hamilton was dwindling. It was in a dying neighborhood. There was not much future there for that Orthodox shul in Hamilton, Ontario. He knew that to succeed, he needed to rebuild, relocate in a nicer, more expensive neighborhood in Hamilton. With what? He had no money. He went to the local branch of Royal Bank, one of the largest banks in Canada, sat down with the vice president of the bank, an Episcopalian Christian by the name of Mr. Amy, and he asked him for a loan. How much are you looking to borrow? $500,000. 1958, a 24-year-old kid. $500,000. The vice president almost laughed at him. He said, do you have anyone backing you up, guaranteeing the repayment of the loan? No. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Have a good day. So Green picks up, gets ready to walk out, and Mr. Amy says to him, why on earth do you want $500,000? He said, I want to build a synagogue. Oh, a synagogue? Oh, what kind of synagogue? An Orthodox synagogue. Oh, okay, sit down, I'll help you. Well, why do you want to help me? And this Episcopalian vice president of the bank said to him, because when I was a boy, I was orphaned at a young age. My mother had 5 children and no source of income. We were living in Timmins, Ontario. My mother was walking one day into the general store of Timmins, Ontario, looking at the price tags on the food and clothing. And the owner of the general store came over to her and said, Mrs. Amy, I heard what happened to your husband. Don't worry about the cost. Take the clothing you need for your children. Take the food you need for your children. As long as I own this store, your family will be taken care of. That man was an Orthodox Jew, and this is the first opportunity I have to repay his kindness. And so now, decades later, that one Orthodox Jew is long gone to Olam HaEmes. And because of that one chesed that he did decades and decades ago, that he perhaps forgot about long ago. There is a massive, beautiful Beis HaKnesses in Hamilton, Ontario. A yeshiva, a mikveh, gorgeous campus. Thousands of Jewish children received a chinuch, al Taras HaKodesh there, over the decades that have passed, in the 44 years since Rabbi Green, and beyond those 44 years since he built that shul. All because of one man's chesed, Maisa Katan. One man who didn't bother thinking ma'ani ma'kochi. Because you never know what you can accomplish. Ve'nodam l'makom, ve'nodam l'chavero, a maisa chesed, a small mitzvah. The rewards are beyond imagination.